Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of the Gym Owners Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Stone. Over there is John Fairbanks. How are you doing, John?
I'm wonderful, Tyler.
And without further ado, we're going to introduce the other Tyler. Guys, is he our first two-time guest?
Yes.
Probably. Tyler Ryder from Torque Strength and Conditioning in the Twin Cities, Woodbury, if you know what's up. Welcome, Tyler. Just tell everybody hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. Tyler, you've been doing some stuff. We've known each other for, since probably like 2016, 17, something like that. And your business has evolved a lot over that time, but there's some principles we want our gym owners and people that listen to this show, we want them to be able to extract from the things that you do well. Because we don't want everybody to just mimic all the things that Tyler does, because they're not necessarily going to fit. They're not going to fit your brand. They're not going to fit everything. But the principle you've done really, really well is building other brands, other systems, other programs underneath the umbrella of your gym and continuing to evolve over the years. I mean, long, long ago when we met, you were a completely different name. It was a CrossFit affiliate with a bit of a big strong guy vibe added to it. And then that's kind of slowly that's changed. It's been now it's a strength gym, and you've added Torque Sports Performance. You've built Parisi, the other sports performance brand out of there, as well as weightlifting clubs, powerlifting clubs. You let coaches come in. So there's a lot of things that you've done that have been built under the umbrella of your gym, instead of you being this like single commodity, which I think helps a lot. And just, I would like you to tell us a little bit about what that journey's been like. Maybe the summary first, and we'll dive into some specifics.
Okay. It's been 10 years now, and it's just kind of, we kind of always just gone with the sales of, you know, what people, kind of the vibe of our coaching staff, or, you know, what's needed. And obviously I have huge influence being the owner, but I also, you know, what do I like to coach? What is kind of, what's my wheelhouse, so to speak. So we just started this CrossFit gym. I saw it as definitely as a way to get into the gym business, because I was, you know, I didn't own a gym obviously before this. And it was a pretty cheap and easy way to get into it, especially back then when CrossFit gyms were pretty successful. And right from the bat, like you said, we kind of like a big, we did it on a different twist, but we had our Torque Barbell, which is our weightlifting club, and, you know, I was coaching some kids too for sports performance. But we kind of didn't have like an umbrella for all the programs we had, because I had some other coaches in there who did like HIIT programs, and we actually used to have cycling classes way back then too. So even from the beginning, we were never really purely a CrossFit gym. We had a lot of different programs, and that's something I kind of stole from my years at the Y. And it kind of just stuck with me, you know, because within a YMCA, being a nonprofit, we're a little different, because our CEO would actually back the fitness programs pretty heavily. And they saw a lot of value in multiple programs. That way you kind of hook, you know, you get more people in your facility, right?
Yeah.
Rather than just being a one trick pony. And so that's kind of how I always went about it. And obviously the one thing with a nonprofit is they can't do it. They can only do it well, you know? Yeah. So that, which drove me nuts. So after that, I was like, well, if we're going to do something, I want to do it to the best we can, like the best it should be. So that's kind of the way we've always done it.
Yeah. Well, I want to get on this concept too, because one of the things that we talk about quite a bit on this show, and this is what I think the Y does well. Is that me echoing? Testing. You hear that, John?
It's on Ryder's side.
Okay. I think we're okay. As long as I don't bark. But one of the things that I think the YMCA does well, aside from, you know, doing nonprofit, oftentimes low quality business in a space that like is now we have to compete with, but we have to make money to fucking eat. Yeah. But what they do really well is they understand the concept of somebody's lifetime fitness journey, a client's lifetime fitness journey. And that is not always, we always think of our metrics that we assess, or the concepts we think of in our gym is within our gym, right? How long are they spending with us? Lifetime value. What's their ticket price? Like, how long is their average term with us? But the reality is, if we assess the entire fitness journey of the average person, it's fucking all over the place. They may get into stand-up paddleboarding in the summer, and they may do body pump, maybe the first way they get into a gym, and maybe one class, or they spend 2 years wandering around the weight room aimlessly by themselves for a couple of years. Like that's, there's plenty of pathways that people get into fitness and they're constantly rattling and bouncing around. You've done it. I've done it. Your gym has done it. How many people do you know that are CrossFitters that decide eventually, like they just don't want to deal with that sizzle all the time. And then they become weightlifters or they get into bodybuilding or they just find a way that fits their lifestyle as they age a little bit better. And I think that that is, that's the concept that the Y did well. And that's, I think, exactly what you've extracted in what you're doing now is your system is not just a CrossFit gym and it wasn't just a power gym. Now it's like, you know, and have identified that people will find their way into the things that you do. And you need to have at least some different offerings because unless we're super specialized, like we either got to be really, really specialized and lots of fucking people got to want it, or we do got to broaden up just a little bit or else there's just not enough bodies in a lot of markets. And a lot of those types of, you know, the powerlifting people, it's tough to make money off of powerlifting. Powerlifters don't hire coaches all that much. They don't do much. They're messy. They take 5 fucking hours in the gym and they show up all the time. So they're not always your most profitable group. And I think that broadening out and being able to serve more people better over a long enough timeline in different ways, one, it gives them options. So when they get stale, they don't fucking bail, right? It's just like, God, I'm kind of tired of this. I want to try something new. And I do think, I'm glad you brought up the Y because I shit on a YMCA a lot. But this is, but that is a thing that they do well. That's why sometimes it's tough to compete. Because it's cheap and you can do fucking anything there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, and like you said, though, they don't do some of those programs justice. But as far as things go, it is kind of along that spectrum of time on a people's fitness journey. And obviously, even within that, we still have our niche. Like, we don't do your, you know, your Orange Theory kind of shit.
Yeah.
But you nailed it on that. Because all of a sudden, let's say I have a weightlifter who's just beat up. And I'm like, all right, go do this thing. Or someone like an adult doing our general fitness, our GPP program, wants to kind of spice things up. I'm like, well, here, do this. Or life change, work happens. You know, they're like, just I can't do this program, so I might give them something else. And then they can kind of do the block training where they might be over there training with a weightlifter or powerlifter or the high school kids, but they're doing their specific program. They're still getting coached.
Yeah. Tyler, oh, you're back. We still got your audio. Can you hear me? We lost your sound again. Ah, quick audio hiccup. We're back. So, well, tell me about, there's a couple transitions I would like us to like to talk about as well, because I think you offering 24 hour or not, you do offer 24 hour, correct? Like key card access, 24 hour, which is a concept I do like. I like for gyms to consider this, but also if it's not necessarily 24 hour, I still like access for gyms. And like for people that have been coaching, doing group classes or have certain structures over a longer time, the idea of having people just come and work out in your gym on your own is almost foreign to them. But we miss out on an entire subset of people out there who like, I don't want to fucking work out with somebody hovering over me. Maybe I know what I want to do, or maybe I want a program, but people like my personal training clients, you'll never fucking see them in a group fitness class ever. Yeah. They don't want it for not, and if it was free, they're not going. There's just, it's not on their radar at all. And this allows you, I think, to let people fit into their schedule. I think it's a different budget option. I think it's great. But could you tell us a little bit about the specifics of transitioning to that? Like, how is it getting keyed access? What's something like that cost? What's the management security? And it's, what's kind of that, I'd like to, because I don't think we've ever talked about that with you directly. What is that transition like?
So it was something that we, after COVID, so the second, with Minnesota, we had the second lockdown. We didn't fucking lock down. We turned it easy. Like, we put, you know, Christmas paper up on the, all the windows and shit, and, you know, had like a sign up online, but.
Torque was not playing that second lockdown shit. Congratulations, by the way, because I've said this about, we have had gyms in lots of other places, and I've said, whenever this nonsense starts rolling around again now, don't take this anymore. Like, it can't, if it even starts smelling like this, the answer is just no, make them enforce it. And I'm glad you put your foot down. Somebody's got to lead from the front.
Yeah, there was no way. So yeah, we that happened, but because of it, you know, also we had kind of a need, because people, it just became like the norm. They could come in kind of whenever they wanted. Right. And for me too, like, you know, if I go coach off site at a high school, or you know, if I go out of town for a seminar, I just want to, don't want to fucking be there. Having that access to people is just, it was a no brainer. So, what it is we do an app. It's called Hybrid AF. I think they kind of came up after COVID because of this same thing. I want to say with the locksmithing and the whole system set up, it was like $2,000 or $2,500. And we pay a monthly depending on how many users you have. Terribly. Sure. So what we did was with our open gym membership, it's part of it, right? And now let's say because it came in after the fact, especially with how many members we have, you know, to kind of cover the cost, we're like, well, shit, we kind of have to charge them something. But not everybody wanted it either, right? So we just charge like a, you know, an upsell. It's like $12, $10 a month for them to use it. And so, yeah, it's basically just an upsell. Or what we do is it's part of the Open Gym package. So
Okay. So it's kind of baked currently now to the Open Gym package. And then for everybody that was in, you're like, hey, if you want this, this is your – I like that. I think that's really solid. The implementation and transition from one to the other is always, I think there's probably a million ways to do it. And if you didn't feel like you fucked up pretty bad, you did pretty good. Cause I think doing anything like that, you're like, oh fuck. You'll have to drop the ball on a few things.
Well, no, it gives people another avenue. Like, you know, life gets in the way, like, hey, Friday nights right now, I'm packed with work or whatever the hell it may be. Then they can get in the gym when they need to. Yeah. And there's times too where like someone's struggling. I'm like, here, just give, here's the access for a month. Get your ass in here when you can. So,
what did you have to account for knowing that folks are going to be there without any of your people there or without you?
That's a good question. So we actually had to, you know, everything had to be for insurance purposes. We had to drill stuff down, which can be a pain in the ass for events, you know, because our power
like physical equipment. Drill it down.
Yeah. It has to be nailed down, like our bench presses, stuff like that. Obviously, some benches that can be moved, but like any bigger piece of equipment where it's like a risk of someone getting hurt. Again, a bench press is a big thing, power rack, which you should have those things bolted down anyways.
Yeah. But a bench often not, even the big nice ones, usually a guy likes to reserve the right to move it out of the damn way if you need to or rearrange.
Right.
Now they're permanent.
Yeah. Any other considerations insurance-wise, secure, what about security? Have you always had cameras and stuff like that?
So there were some things we had to do. I did do security cameras. You know, I just asked a buddy who knew some guy who had a small business. We set it all up. It's an app on my phone. Cool. It was very inexpensive, actually. And actually, in the long run,
you didn't use like, and I know there's so many options for this, so I don't want to like
Nest or whatever the fuck all those things.
I've used Nest inside in my gym because it's kind of easy. But did you use something a little more official or professional?
Yeah, we did. Okay. So it's literally like I have a big, I don't know how many terabytes it is. It does all the recording, and then it's an app on my phone. So the thing is, when they come in, there's a timestamp, obviously, right? Then I can use that and look at their timestamp on the security camera in case something happened, obviously. Never had anything. And then, you know, just for insurance purposes, just to kind of save our ass, right? And obviously, too, I mean, I don't, like, watch it like a hawk, but, like, hey, man, like, if you're someone who keeps leaving your shit out, you're going to hear about it because there's an eye in the sky. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the huge thing was, too, because of this, though, I'm actually a little selective on Open Gym. I mean, if you're coming in and you are just we all know that person who does dumb shit, you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Like, have some kind of training or you got to have some kind of background or you got to be all right. If I don't trust you leaving, you ain't going to be a member. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing that starts to open up, right? The hangups maybe of adding a 24-hour, adding a untethered, what's the word, unsupervised access model is one of the reasons we like our gyms, right? Like you like your gym, it's your gym, is that it maybe doesn't have all the negatives that come with a 24-hour commercial gym where there's bunches of schmucks that can do whatever they want there. And now you're like, fuck, I do have to open myself up to that possibility and keep myself safe.
Yeah. And that's something like we had one guy who, you know, it was okay. And also I'm like, man, this dude's ego lifting. But then he started paying for programming. So it's also kind of it can be a hook into the other way too. So it's just having that delicate conversation, like, hey.
Yeah. So this creates also, though, like a nice alternative pathway into your business as well, where, like, John, you can still hear me okay, right?
Yep.
Tether in mind, just so I'm not popping through Tyler. So you can now when somebody comes in, they go, I don't know about all this stuff you guys are doing. I don't know if I fit in, or I don't know about all this, but I do like the gym. It's close to my place. I promise I'm not weird. And that this now gives like a different way for someone to get in and get started. Find out they like you. Find out they like the vibe generally. They like the place. They like the other people there. And then eventually they're allowed to make their way into a coached product, starting to buy programming and become an actual member of your community. And I think that that's the benefit that we talk about, like the YMCA throw everything at the wall model does have value, because different things attract different people. And there's so many people sitting out there in the world in your guys's market, every gym owner's market, they're just sitting out there going, I fucking tried Zumba, it was okay. Or I tried Body Pump, it was okay. I did their YMCA Kwon Do or whatever, you know, or I hired one of their personal trainers. And what happens is people, sometimes it's the people's fault that they fall off from a fitness opportunity. And sometimes it's the program just didn't work for them, but they're looking for a reason to get back on. And they're not always ready to try the same thing. How many people do you know that tried a CrossFit gym and tried it because they thought the group classes would be cool, and they've done it, and maybe they did it for a while and they tired of it? The idea of them rejoining a CrossFit gym is actually probably pretty slim. And so They're looking for a different opportunity. And I like that you can fill a 24-hour or access-only model is still what the general population thinks of when they think of a gym. That's it. They think of a weight room that they can go in, and they're on your own, and you're totally on your own. And if you ask most of the people in that are not participating in fitness right now, that's what they think of when they think of joining a gym. So it allows you to like directly align with their expectations, and then they can learn that you do more. And maybe you sell them into something more right away, or they find their way eventually. I just think that for gyms that are trying to adapt, I still believe in the CrossFit model. Fucking rules if you have a little bit more of equipment and a little bit more space that's not class floor times floor space. That if I still had my like CrossFit affiliate, well, wouldn't be an affiliate, but 24-hour access would absolutely be something I would do. You can grow your membership base, you can convert people from there into personal training, into your group classes. They can meet the people, or they can just be in and giving you money and getting results on their own, buying nutrition coaching, participating in challenges. It still fucking now makes your gym not just like this brand that's not yours. It still makes it your gym. And I think that that's the beautiful thing about this. And I want to pivot now because on this subject and go into now some of the other brands that you've developed now within your gym. One of them specifically is in the sports performance side. Would you tell us about this transition you've kind of made and the other stuff you've added?
Yeah. So what we did was, you know, the huge thing from the beginning when I was coaching, you know, student athletes, they would come in, this is an issue where they would be, you know, this happening over here. They would look at that and be like, this isn't, they look at it as like just a bunch of Olympic lifters, or, you know, what the hell are these people doing over here? And, you know, from a branding standpoint, as far as websites or our website, everything like that, you go on there and just be like, you know, one page within a page, right? And it just didn't look legit to me. Like, as a consumer standing out, I'd be like, oh, if this is just one thing they do, they don't do it well. And that obviously was not the case, because that's my background first and foremost. So what we did was we totally separate website, separate Instagram. Actually, the business model is completely different. It is a business within a business, right? And everything's run separately. So from memberships to intros, everything. So we did that. And with some really good success, you know, and that sports performance world is starting to get very saturated. You know, everyone's who played the sport now is some fitness or a speed fucking guru or whatever, because they were fast in college and what the hell they're doing. Most of them, you ask them what a force vector is, they would, you know, fall on their face. So it's, and then there's really good stuff out there too. So it's hard for, you know, a parent to look at something like, you know, what's good, what's bad, right? And then obviously because we're a little more strength biased as a gym, with all the, you know, strongman comps to do with Joel Dirks, our Olympic weightlifting comp, powerlifting competitions, you know, it's on that spectrum of like sports performance, it looks like we just live over here. And I knew it was a problem. And, you know, for sport, you need speed, right? You need to do these things with your athletic development. And I was actually at the Swiss in Columbus. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, the list of people, you know, whatever to do or to go attend. And, you know, it was Bill Parisi talking about tensegrity and, you know, fascial tissue and all that. And I walk in and he's got the little biotensegrity or the tensegrity play toy thing. Right away, I'm like, oh, this is my guy. And we're, you know, listen to his thing, talk to him afterwards. He's like, come out to Jersey. Went out there for like a week and a half. Still go to all his summits. I just got back from one in New Jersey again for fascial is the Perform Better Fascial Summit. So like Bobby Trope was there, or Strope, the Giants performance team. So it just, it opened up this opportunity, you know, coaching underneath him or like adding that affiliate, that, that program. It opened up these doors to all these really, really big time coaches. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it's invaluable. And it's one of those things, like it didn't change anything at all. You know, it's something where we can put that marker on our door. And, you know, it's literally like,
it's develop coaches better as well into this. Yeah. This seems like a framework where if you had to bring up a new coach now, you don't need to have them, like, you don't got to fucking brain transplant everything you've got into them. You can kind of go, I'm guessing that this has a system with which a new coach can learn within that as well. So it's not just a brand, sure. I'm assuming there's an educational structure.
Yeah. And that's the huge thing is he, you know, there's a whole online like university. So, and it spans all the way, you know, the American Professional Football Association, all these things. So it's really just a continued education network. Right. And between, you know, with the Parisi, it's, you have to do the certification for the speed and all that through them. And that's what we did. Or that's what I did. And it, you know, it's like anything, you can't go into something naive. It added a lot of good, more layers to our training, obviously, and change things. And with that, again, I just wanted that, you know, I think having that speed school name kind of helps people realize like, hey, we don't just do all just weights, right? I'm not having kids max out back squats who are hockey players, right? It added this other layer or program to the gym for sure.
Now, when you said it didn't change anything, you also said that phrase.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong. Like it added a lot of stuff to our programming, but I guess it was stuff we were already doing, but adding more layers to our programming. And it's not like I'm answering to the man or something like with CrossFit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Not like, or like some other affiliate, like I can only have this kind of equipment in my gym. Like, I don't know, an Anytime Fitness or some shit. So it was really just an addition to something we already did, but having, you know, that network is, again,
it's the big thing we shit on a ton are people that do get too up their own ass about certifications or about the networks that they're a part of, thinking that we as coaches will nerd out and be excited about these different modalities or the different systems where the 16-year-old kid doesn't fucking know anything. It's the reason why every wide receiver that I ever played with is now a speed and agility coach in Florida. Right. Yeah. And they're running kids at a track and now that's what they do, but there is no network there. And, but the reality is the average consumer knows fuck all. They just know, well, you look fast. And the reality is you guys look strong. So I do like the idea where it's like, we knew this was a gap. We wanted to go get educated, but not to be like, we're now smart because we have this certification. It's like, no. Now we feel confident with stuff we already are doing. And now we can kind of almost have that educational system.
I suppose, like you talked about, Stone. I suppose it shores up your coaching philosophy and the strategy with which these athletes will be coached at is now like just really backed and really solid, right? And that you're learning, your new coaches are learning, and they're imparting new things. But the real thing, it sounds like a trust play to me, which is also important. This is the same exact reason I did this, you did this, when I opened a CrossFit affiliate. That was a trust play and a branding play that people knew CrossFit, that people were going to come in wanting CrossFit. Yeah. Perfect. You've heard of it because you ain't never fucking heard of me. And that works until I spent too much time, and you probably did too, doing things differently, having to answer for the things that you do differently. It was like, I don't fucking answer to any of you people. And then even further than that, you end up spending a lot of your sales inquiry time, conversations, like diffusing the bad notions about it. So as long as the trust in the brand and the public perception is solid, God, you kind of can't go wrong giving something like this a chance. Now, I also like what you did is you built separate social media stuff for this, which is for specifically the Parisi, St. Paul Parisi, what is this, Parisi Sport Performance? Is that how it's spelled?
Parisi Speed.
What's that?
Parisi Speed School.
Parisi Speed School. But it's St. Paul is what it's. Yeah. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
And but see, so what happened was that stuff starts coming across my Instagram feed because we're homies. And so it just starts showing up on my suggested thing. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And I was like, I know that fucking gym. Gym. And I'm like, this is not this. And so my first thought was, I was like, oh shit, did Tyler move? Did he do something? And I was like, and that's when I put it together. I was like, oh, okay. So I figured kind of out that it's a program that you're running within. And now this has external trusts, external education angles, and lots of things to this. But I think for coaches out there, gym owners specifically, is your own programs. If you're not going to take a jump like this and build a, you know, and attach yourself to another thing that maybe you don't know, or maybe you can't afford, maybe you don't have the time, whatever it is, that if you are doing something different, that's very different from your thing, and people only know you for your one thing, maybe it is important to build some brand separation. And that's a thing for me. If I'm going to have a gym that's a CrossFit affiliate, or let's say if I got a gym that's a 24-hour gym, a true global gym, which is where I work out of most of the time now, if that's the case, and I'm going to have a youth program, and it's going to be like a camp, and or however it's going to be, that's probably going to need its own branding completely, because you're not going to think that out of a 24-hour chain gym. You're just not going to think that it counts. You're not going to think it's valid. And this is why I think your programs, they not maybe don't always need their separate Instagram page, but they maybe can. At the very least, they kind of do need their own branding, or need to be branded. And otherwise, it's just like an also-ran. It's like you talking about your bathrooms. You're like, yeah, and then they're there. And I think that doing that now puts you in a position where if you have to launch another program, you can talk about that program very specifically. And then that will catch the interest of someone who's interested in doing that type of business. Otherwise, if you're trying to sell that out of something where people just don't believe that you're going to do it. If you were trying to sell a fucking Parisi Speed School out of your grocery store, it'd sound fucking crazy. If Kroger's is listing this on the thing, it just wouldn't make sense. But that type of disconnect happens a lot when people are trying to sell almost any specialty program, any camp, any off-season thing, is it feels like this thing that we kind of do. And you making the commitment to like fully brand it separately, literally its own social media page, we're making separate content for it, very specifically, it's effort, which is important. It's an extra burden of content. But now that checks that box, I think, really, really, really well, because that is going to attract and not confuse. And it seems like now when you see that page, because you're looking for sports performance truly, everything you see on that looks like you need it to look. Versus the biggest thing I see is group fitness gyms, functional fitness gyms, CrossFit affiliates try to do they try to do probably what you're doing. They may have very capable coaches too that can run a all summer camp thing like this for literally, there's very capable coaches in these gyms that can do this and probably are doing similar things to it. But instead they're calling it, what are they calling it, Tyler? CrossFit Kids, Fit Kids. And it fucking sucks. And it obviously looks like something you are just kind of doing to corner the kids market or snag some children out of the fucking, you know, the people who are the old adults who are already doing business with you. And I think that That's fucking lazy. And those people, what do they do when they're going to launch a summer program? They post twice and they get what they get, and then that's it. And it's totally no effort, and it's very transparent then when people are trying to do business with them. Like, this isn't fucking serious training, is what it looks like. And you've made that very sure that you're not doing
it. And people forget, most parents were probably ex-athletes, and got to sell the parents. And if I saw a CrossFit, it's like you said, committing to that brand and having the buy-in right away has just been so much better, rather than trying to sell them on, you know, why we do the things we do. They just see that, they're like, oh yeah, let's do this. Like, they don't question it anymore, which helps a lot, obviously. And honestly, it's been one of those things where the way we've done this, it's almost been backwards. You know, like most big global gyms try to add programs. We were programs, now adding like open gym, and have these other facets of programming. So now it's kind of gearing up to help us in the future, to where now, you know, I'm actually almost at a hindrance of getting more business and certain things for like teams and everything, because we don't have the space.
Right.
So that's kind of the next move. We're looking at, you know, finding some land and building and making some, not some big mecca global gym, but something bigger, to where, you know, we can do more with the programs we already do. That's why I'm kind of pushing the open gym thing right now, because eventually when we do this, that's something that we need more clients for that. I mean, we do well now, but we need more space for it, right? And you've been in my gym, it's small. We use every inch of that place. But we could do so much more with a different facility. So that's kind of the next move there.
Nope. Most gym owners are dying running one gym with one kind of thing. How is it possible that you have four high-functioning things, essentially, three or four high-functioning things within your gym, and you're the only guy? Like, is it because of the support staff? Is it because of the people that you have that make all of these different angles and directions possible? Or are you just, we need to figure out how to clone you?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
That's something where people want me to open up another gym, and I'm like, I don't have another Tyler. Not to sound narcissistic, but at the same time,
it's like Highlander in here. There can be only one. Well, one of us is leaving this podcast, bro.
but honestly, like, we've been doing it for so long to where it's where now we have. I have a really good staff, like an amazing staff, and they're, you know, been with me a long time. I mean, we're 10 years plus now, and someone's been with me for nine years. And so they just kind of, the systems and how we coach, everything's kind of already built in, right? It's taken a long time to do that. But also, it's the same thing with the membership. So when we get new people, it's kind of like, God, what's that movie, that Michael Bay movie, where the people were like obviously being grown? They come in like, God, was I that stupid when I got here?
Island?
Yes.
Got it.
I think of it that way. We get new members. They're walking around until the veterans are kind of like, yeah, come over here. I got you. It's just in the culture to where everything, we know how to like progress them. So it's pretty seamless now. And they pick up a lot quicker because we don't do like the intro classes separately. We throw them right in the mix, but obviously there's a lot of regression done. But they seem that they learn, like the student athletes, adults, everyone, they learn a lot quicker that way. So I think that's a big part of it. But obviously too, with that many programs, I spend a lot of time programming, like a lot more than probably most coaches. So it's, and I do like a real needs analysis on things. You know, what should we do with this? And that's what I think is tricky with the sports performance, because I have, you know, multiple workouts a day for those kids, depending on where their athletic development's at, you know, which is kind of done by age, but as far as breaking things down, but as well as that's why I do an eval to see what they need and what they don't need, right? What are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, what are their deficiencies? So it might be one day, one kid's doing like a very basic strength, let's say a 13-year-old, like a basic strength program. Where the next kid is doing like MDS work, and the next kid is doing linear. But then within that program, you know, it's still a template,
and I know what they need depending on the eval or how they're feeling that day, or, you know, there's so many variables. Do they have a game tomorrow? Is there practices? all these kids do sports all year round. So, like, are they skating today? So that kind of tells me which way I should kind of guide them on their programming. It's a lot on the back end, but the results and, you know, you're there for the client or your athlete. That's just how it should be. That's why I look at it. Rather than doing, like, you're going to walk into the same workout as everybody today, right? In our general population stuff, it's like that, but we still adjust things, right? Both student athletes with how what they came there for sports performance, that's where shit gets really messy. But it's just something that we just do. So it gets a little convoluted at times and it gets tricky, but we make it work.
If it was easy, everyone would do it that way. That's why I think a lot of, like, turnkey, let's get them selling is how we eat, right? And I think a lot of gyms, and fulfilling is the thing we're always supposed to be doing, right? But I think a lot of gyms will sell and sell and sell somebody in and then give no thought to the fulfillment, right? Yeah. And on the other side, where I think gyms fuck up, is they give all their thought to the fulfillment and then they don't really sell that well. They don't put much effort into that, or they, like, almost overthink the fulfillment side of things and make it too complicated and too laborious, to where nobody's fucking all that interested in it. And so there's a balance between making your program worth doing, valuable, done right, done the way you want it, and also knowing that, like, I gotta get fucking bodies in here. It's gotta work. And I think that I think you're doing a good job walking that line, man. So well, thanks for joining us today. Follow Tyler, drop all the socials where people want to follow your gym, follow the programs, give us
Torque SC is our gym for Torque. I'm just on Instagram. And then it's St. Paul Parisi Speed School for our sports performance. And then my personal is just Rider 63 Torque SC, I think, something like that. You'll find
it. The name is in Tool concert photos. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. And me.
Awesome, brother. Well, hey, it's always a pleasure seeing you. Thanks for joining us again. Look forward to doing this again and catching up again as the gym continues to evolve. I really want to see, especially when you get moving on possibly another location, I would love to get a before, during, and after of that process podcast with you, because I think the reality of being in the trenches in a situation like that and knowing what your opportunities are, what your liabilities are, the headaches, the hangups, and seeing that in real time, I think would be really fucking cool. Because I do believe for most gym owners out there, if you're not making a play for the real estate that you're in, or making sure that that's under something that's now under your own fucking business's umbrella, that it starts to be very, very difficult to build something that's really going to last, or that you can help another generation underneath you. So I think it's very important for us to transcend our rent a little bit.
That's exactly what we're doing. That's how I'm going to actually retire.
That's it.
It's the only way.
So. Next play, I'm going to make it happen. I don't give a shit how. So
good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. We'll make sure that we bring that in on the podcast. Thanks again, man. Always a pleasure. And everybody for listening, follow John at JBanksFL on Instagram. Follow me at Tyler F. Stone. That's Tyler EFFIN Stone. Follow the show at the Gym Owners Podcast on Instagram. And go to gymownersrevolution.com if you want us to help you with your gym directly. There's also the Gym Owners Revolution Facebook group. That link should be in our description. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.